What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Leave me a like on the page. Subscribe, please subscribe. Leave some likes, leave a comment. Let me know what you think as I continue to grow and develop and have some really dope people on this podcast. Today, my guest today is currently playing in the ASEAN Basketball League. He is also an 80s baby as myself from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is listed currently at 7'1". He finished up his high school career playing at Crispus Attucks in York, Pennsylvania. Also played his college ball at the University of Villanova under now the Hall of Fame coach, Jay Wright. Currently, he has played, his resume is history overseas, is High Tech Bangkok City, Thailand Slammers, the Saigon Heat, the Singapore Slingers, a nice resume. Also, some dope highlights. He's an ABL champion in 2014 and two-time ABL World Import MVP 2013-14. Chris Charles. Chris, how you doing, man?
Appreciate the intro, man. I'm doing good.
Oh, yeah.
How about yourself, man?
Good, man. Good. Like we talked about before, man. We just one day at a time down here, just grinding out here, man. I appreciate you taking time out your day, my guy. We're going to get 94 feet. We're going to jump right into it. Milwaukee, like you talk about, man. Let's know about going up in Milwaukee.
Man, just like, you know, inner city, man. Like you said, 80s baby. Milwaukee. Statistically, you know, I'm not like bragging or anything, man. It's just one of the things where like it's a tough city, like highest incarceration rate for black males. And you know, amongst all of that, I had a good family, man, good upbringing, and basketball really helped me, gave me a path, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, Milwaukee is, that's my born and raised, man. I love the city. It's an underrated small city. Like little brother to Chicago, man. But I love it, man. And that's where my journey started, back at the crib, man. I was a late bloomer with basketball. I started playing my sophomore year. I was like 6'6". I couldn't dunk. But, you know, I had a lot of encouragement around me. You know, some of the local dudes, cats at the playground, coaches and all that really continued to push me, even though I was like, you know, awkward, tall. I just kept grinding. But yeah, Milwaukee, that's the home base, man.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So growing up and being that tall, right? Or let's even go back a little further. What other sports things did you dabble in, or did you try, or has always been hoop? Or what else was it? What else did you rock with?
Man, basketball was like the main sport that everybody was playing, like football. We used to play football on the street. I tried out for the baseball team. I was terrible at that, man. Just trying different things. And I was bad at basketball too when I first started playing, but I just, you know, I had a lot of people, like a lot of my like cousins and friends played the game. It was all around me. And I just kept, you know, drawn towards it. And I kept growing and growing. And it just became a part of my life, dog.
That's what's up. So during this transition phase, or as you start to really get the assistance and help, like you said, nowadays, you know, kids got trainers and train. Once you start to really adjust, like, okay, I can do something with this. How much time were you putting in working on your craft or trying to develop your skill set? How many hours a day? Because, I mean, like I said, we didn't have no indoor access all the time. We was growing up.
Yeah, like, it's, I feel like the kids have a great opportunity as far as having access to the trainers now, man. And even with the online stuff, it's really dope time for like basketball coming up. Like we just, like, you know how it is, we just hoop, like go to the park and just hoop for hours on end.
Yep.
And that's kind of like my early development, my pickup at the playgrounds. You know, then I started having like coaches take me under their wing, and then we work out on the weekends, work out after school. But yeah, most of my development was just like hooping at the parks, man. Just like learning my game on the fly. Yeah. But that's how I started.
Who during that phase, again, we grew up, it was an era of the big men too, though. Guards were still, but big men were still like ever present. Who were some people you may have kind of looked after, guard or whoever? You know, if you want to be a guard, who were the people you kind of watched on TV or whenever, you know, emulated? We went outside. Who were you emulating?
Man, so I used to collect basketball cards, like And I used to love Penny, man. Like, I used to have his car. Penny was like somebody that I really looked up to because he was like tall and skinny, but he could handle the rock.
Yep.
And then I don't know if you remember Jonathan Bender.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I seen him at like the McDonald's All American game, and I just remember going to the park and trying to like do the stuff that he was like shooting threes, dribbling, everything, just tall and skinny. And then later on, like Darius Miles, and then like Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett, those dudes. You know, and obviously, like when I started getting older, I started like studying Kareem and some of those big dudes. But back then, it was like David Robinson, Shaq. That was the era, man.
Yo, that's what's up. So you get to say like late bloomer in the high school, man, 10th grade. Going into, I guess, your junior or senior year, any goals or aspirations you had personally, like, okay, that you wanted to accomplish before you got out of high school?
Man, honestly, and like, I used to be embarrassed of this, man, but now I just look at it as, you know, like a story that maybe can help somebody that's struggling with school. Like, my goal was just to try to get my grades right. Like, but from basketball standpoint, I just wanted to get like better to where I could compete in the city, because I was like the tall dude that wasn't good and everybody's like, oh, you tall for nothing. Mm-hmm. So my thing was just like, all right, I gotta just keep getting better and better every day. But my main thing towards the end was like, all right, I gotta like try to graduate high school. Like, I was really struggling with my academics, but basketball kind of gave me, it was backwards. I know that's not the right thing, but you know, I think some kids can relate to this. Like, basketball gave me the focus to like, all right, concentrate on the class, like try to get everything straight. So that was kind of like my focus towards the end. Once I started seeing that I had opportunities, like it gave me a little bit of hope and a direction. So I started like, all right, my academics, I got to try to get this thing right. And that was towards the end of my high school career. But before, honestly, I was really struggling with the grades, and but basketball really gave me direction, man. But as far as like the on-court stuff, I just wanted to get better, period. Like, I had a lot of, like, I was real raw. So I just knew I had to try to stand out in the city, because Milwaukee is underrated. But we had like a lot of hoopers, man.
That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, hey, the academics is key, man. It goes hand in hand. But you made that clear earlier. I got to take care of business, which is good. Like, I'm not stressed out to my players right now. You got to get these books. I mean, you got to have this book. So that applies. Hey, it's a grind. It's a grind, man. You got to make that work. So get ready to come out of high school. Was Villanova already on the table? Or how did Villanova come about, man? How'd that come about for you?
Man, because my grades were bad and I still was like raw and underdeveloped, I was looking at like getting a GED, going to JUCO, like, and I know this ain't like stuff that, you know, it's not the perfect story, man. Like, I was struggling with my grades. So I'm like, I ain't have no real schools. I had a lot of junior colleges, small Division I. I think like University of Albany was interested. I had, I was still like raw in a lot of ways, man. So I had to get reclassified, and then I went to prep school.
Okay.
Out east, York, Pennsylvania. And that like woke my eyes up to like, wow, like basketball, the exposure on the East Coast, like we had like 8 Division I dudes on our team, and it was super competitive, man. So that's like when I started getting recruited more, like when I went out east. Like, I had University of Wisconsin early on, so saw me a little bit. But when I went out east and I started playing with other players, getting to those tournaments, man, and like, I think it was it was all kind of tournaments, you know, the East Coast tournament, like a bunch of tournaments, man. I started getting a little bit more exposure, but that's when I started getting recruited, and Villanova was one of the college teams that was recruited.
That's what's up. So, and like I said, man, I had D-Bach on before. Hey, man, it's all about the struggle, man. I want these kids to hear the real. So, like I said, hey, you got it. We that's why we're here, bro. Tell the story, man, because we want to let them know, like, you can make it, but you got it. You know what I'm saying? You can make your path easier if we can shine some light, bro. So, I mean, yeah, we can keep nailing that hammer in about them grades, man. They got to get them grades right and take care of them books, bro. So, it's all good with me. So, you go to this prep school. Now you get exposure. You get to rocking. How was that feeling on that little, I guess, even not the circuit, because you're still in prep school kind of, but playing those games, man, how's them games like playing with all the people on your team? Because you said 8 Division I cast, that's a loaded roster.
Yeah, it was like, it's like going from, I wasn't even like the big fish. I wasn't even the big fish in my own city. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like still raw and like nobody really saw me as that dude, man. So to go here was like even more like eye opener. Like, dude, it was dudes from Chicago, Toronto, Serbia, like from all over the country, overseas, everything. So the amount of talent level was just like, you had to bring it. You had to like continue to work on your game. And it gave me just like a precursor to what college was going to be like, you know what I'm saying? And also being on your own and being away from home, living in like with host families and in dorms, and kind of just having that response. We had to work on like construction sites, you know what I'm saying? So it gave you just like a responsibility of being out on your own and trying to, you know, get your grades right, get your personal stuff together. So, but it was like super competitive. And then like you go to the tournaments and like, this is back in the day, and like I think James White was around, and like Caron Butler, whole prep school scene was crazy out east, man. Like, so it just gave me just, all right, this is a whole new world over here, man.
That's crazy. That's super dope. But it was beneficial for you too, because I know some people now have the issue with prep school and not. But JC, I mean, I was a JC kid, but I mean, it's, you do what's fit for you. Hopefully it works out. But that's what's up. So. You do a year there? Is it just 1 year at that one? Is it one, or you get?
Man, you say like journeys, bro.
Yeah,
like,
so yeah, we good.
It basically was like, so I did one. I'm not proud of this, but it's a journey, man. It's the, I hope a kid can identify with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta, you know, it build a certain type of hunger.
Right.
It wasn't a smooth path, man. But I had to do 2 years of prep school, so. My first year, we won a national prep school tournament, the championship. And then after that, we were supposed to follow up, have another year, they was talking about bringing like, I think James, they was recruiting like James White, Carmelo Anthony to come into our prep school. Jeez. It was crazy. Like, we had dudes from, we started to gain steam as a program. It was a new program too, but they had some like logistical stuff fell through where they wasn't supposed to like recruit kids from out of the state and all of that. So they shut the prep school down. So I went to Milford Academy, which is a prep school, an all boys prep school in Connecticut. And I like continued there. But then that prep school got shut down because like when we went home for the holidays, like some players stayed and they like ransacked the dorms. And like they had the health inspector, somebody had to like shut the school down. So I didn't have a prep school. I was like, man, like where am I gonna go to like complete? I had to get my qualifications so I can go to college. Mm-hmm. So I went back to my old prep school at Christmas Addicts, but they didn't have a team. They weren't allowed to have a team. So I just went there for just the solely academics, just to finish up my requirements. And I used to just like practice with the local high schools. And I played like AAU with my team back in Milwaukee, I think it was. Yeah.
What's up?
This was like 20 years ago.
Yeah. We hitting on 20 years out of high school, brother. We up there. I'm 82, so I'm right behind you. I'm right behind you, baby. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm right behind you, dog. I'm 82, so I know it's going by quick. It don't feel like it, but it didn't move. It didn't move. Okay, that's what's up. So you finish up. How does Villanova come about, man? How does that come for you?
Well, they have been recruiting me. They had Steve Lapis was the coach at the time, and they had like Mike Bradley, who had just left and went to the league, and one of the assistant coaches, his name is Joe Jones. I think he coaches at either Boston University right now. Anyways, I had a real good relationship with the assistant coach, Joe Jones, and I had committed to Villanova. Actually, no, I did not. I committed to Seton Hall because Tommy Amaker. Yeah. They had Andre Barrett and Eddie Griffin and Sammy Dellenberg. I took my visit there, everything. So I had originally committed there, but I was really close to the assistant coach at Villanova. That was like one of my top schools. But then Tommy Amaker went to Michigan. And opened up my recruitment. Mm-hmm. And then Jay Wright came to Villanova, and the assistant that I was cool with stayed, Joe Jones. And they started recruiting me. And I committed there. I signed there. I had a good, you know, feeling about the university. And Coach Wright really preached, family and working hard. You know, everything that you see now with the program, the culture, like he was talking about that when he first came in. I was actually his first signee.
That's dope.
And at Villanova, and he had came from Hofstra. He had coached Stevie Claxton, and he just was like a dude that can go on the street in North Philly and kick it with people on the street, and then go into like, you know, Villanova and upscale suits, and you know, he just was really like relatable. You know what I mean, to the players. And then the assistant coach was great too. I had a great relationship with him, so that's how I ended up at Villanova Longhorns.
No, that's good. So that's what's up. I mean, definitely been following Coach Lavin Coach Wright for a while. You get on campus. What's your first initial instinct when you actually get, like, your first time getting on there? Like, what's going through your mind, like, when you actually get inside there or get on there? What you thinking about?
I didn't even take, like, it wasn't one of my official visits. It was, I just had been there for, like, a tournament, and I took, like, an unofficial visit. When I got there, I was just, like, it reminded me of, like kind of like Marquette, like a small like Catholic school. But I was like, the university, it was beautiful. Like, you know, it has the church, the architecture. Was, I just was like, it's a whole different world, you know, compared to, you know, Milwaukee, man. You go to college campuses, it's like, you know, classrooms and college students with cars and stuff. You know, you just, but I really, you know, I was walking around on campus with Coach Wright, and he was like saying hello to everybody, like, you know, interacting with people. And I was like, man, that's not easy to do, man.
Yeah.
But his personality, man, really, that was something that I gravitated towards, man. It's just like seeing how he interacted with people, whether it's the janitor or whether it's, you know what I'm saying, the president of the university.
Respect. He respects all the way around. That's definitely something you can honor. You know, you learn from that. While you're there, like, I'm not sure, what's the biggest rivalry games you guys had? Who's your rival up there? What's the rival game there?
Man, like, historically, it's like St. Joe's, man. Like, okay. St. Joe's, because it's like called a main line. It's the strip that goes from Villanova to, like, into Philly. And St. Joe's, like, on the other side of the strip, of the street. Mm-hmm. And they call it, like, the Holy War, because they both, like, like Catholic schools.
Yeah.
And that rivalry was crazy, especially then, because they had Delonte West and Jameer Nelson at the time. They was like one of the top teams in the country.
Yeah.
So that rivalry was huge as far as like Philly. They got this thing called a Big Five, man. That's like, you know, like five schools in Philly that just go at it. And it's this historical gym called a Palestra. It's like an old gym.
Yeah.
But a lot of battles went down there. Students come in there early, they go crazy. So that was like one of the rivals that locally that we had. But then back then it just was a bunch of like Big East was crazy back then. It's like 16 teams. Like Pitt was crazy. Yeah. They had like tough guards. Georgetown was good, man. It was like top to bottom, man. You could lose on any given, you know what I'm saying, any given night as far as like the competition. That Syracuse was cold, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So walking into those arenas, some of them gangs, man, just the feeling, like I said, you playing in your, after prep school, during prep school, you got a little taste of the big lights with those guys. But now at that D1 level, the highest level people try to get to for college, how was the emotions and kind of the, you know, I mean, we get the nervous, we get the blood flow, heart pumping. How was it going to the arenas, man, them gangs, man? Because I know it had to be just like it's unexplainable to a certain extent. I'm sure.
That was actually one of my things that held me back, man, is just like, thinking too much, like when it came to games. I didn't even play that much at Villanova. I averaged 1 point. You know what I'm saying? But I was like a practice player, man. Like I used to get busy in practice, but when it came to the games, I will always, you know what I'm saying, overthink and overanalyze. So yeah, man, that was one of the things I had to overcome, man. It's just like just going out and just playing without thinking. But yeah, those arenas like Syracuse, I think we played their senior night, they had like 33,000. Yeah. That's when they had
the Hakeem Warwick, no? No, Warwick played
there. Yeah, Hakeem Warwick was there, I think. And then they had the guard.
Who was there? Oh.
I know. McNamara.
Yeah.
They had some squads, man. But yeah, that arena was crazy. It was huge.
Oh, shit, that was probably Melo, too, then, huh? Melo, right? Melo, McNamara?
No, I think Melo had left the year before.
Oh, okay.
The year before I came, okay.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, but that arena was crazy, man. I'm trying to think of It was a lot, but yeah, that was one of the memorable ones just because of the sheer the size.
Right,
and the
that
lights.
Dome, right? Yeah, you playing that dome.
And when you walk in, it's like air pressurized. So like when you walk in, it's like the door shut, like, and you know what I mean? Like it's just like there. Little stuff like that. And the garden was crazy. Every year was like the Big East tournament or something that was, we always like just look forward to that atmosphere and just the bright lights and just like coming up on this big elevator thing that they had where you could fit the whole team in it basically.
That's crazy.
Seeing Jay-Z at the arena.
I was about to say, I never been there, but I know you saw some stars and some NBA players at the games. That had to be crazy.
We saw him because I think he sponsored St. John's or something. They had something. Remember, I forgot his shoe or apparel.
Oh, yeah.
It was either the shoe or apparel that they had some type of deal with, like, Jordan and Jay-Z. Yeah. So St. John's had, so I remember seeing him.
That's what's up. So, finish up playing career there, go undrafted, right? That goes. Now, do you instantly jump into trying to get overseas, cross the water, or what's on your mind after don't go undrafted? How do you get out of the States? Because, I mean, it's not easy for everybody to leave home or leave a small, big city to go across the water. How do you get across the water?
Man, so, I averaged 1 point. So, it wasn't like I had agents, like, beating down my door, man. I had to have basically favors done, man. My coaches knew a couple agents that they did my coaches a favor by, you know, trying to get me on board, but they had so many clients and they looking at me we get you what we can, man. But, it so happened that this is why I tell players, man, like it's like an audition, no matter where you're playing at, summertime, summer league, open gyms in college, like, we used to have open gyms at St. Mary's Gym at Villanova, man. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys, they used to bring in Philly guys, and there was one dude that was he played overseas, but he was like a player/agent. And he had remembered me after graduating. He asked my assistant, like, yo, what's up with the big dude? Because, like I said, I was a practice player. I used to kill in open gyms, practice the game while I freeze up like a deer in the headlights, man. But he remembered me. He was like, yo, what's up with the big fella? So, man, he hooked me up with a job over in Serbia. But even before that, I had a job in Dominican Republic, and I had to go to Miami to try out. Like, so I flew down to Miami and like stayed with one of my coach's friends, slept on the couch. I had a tryout for this Dominican coach that was like a legend over in there, and they had me play at like the University of Miami, play with some of their guys. And I remember my boy, you know, Randy Foy, he was in a draft process. He might have already got drafted, but he was down in Miami. He was signing, his cards. I wanted to go see him. He was signing his rookie cards and stuff, just preparing for the upcoming season. So I remember that, going to Miami and trying out 14 for Dominican Republic. Then I went to the Dominican Republic, and then I think I twisted my ankle, a month in, and then I got sent home. But, yeah, that was like my first gig, but then my first like full season was in Serbia, and that came from a dude that, you know, I had hooped with in the summertime. That he became an agent, and he got me over to like the Serbia, the second league.
That's what's up. So Serbia, I know that was a eye opener. What was the hardest thing about being over there?
Man, luckily, Coach Reich was. Especially those first 2 years when he was establishing his culture, he was coming in new to the program. Like our conditioning, our strength and conditioning stuff, our preseason stuff, practice used to be like super strenuous and like test your mental toughness. So that like kind of prepared me for what would lie ahead when you have like a Serbian coach. Like they real like drill sergeant types, practice 2-a-days, but both be like, it ain't like the first practice is shoot around. Like that was a full practice, skill work, go hard. And then like a full practice in the afternoon. It was like, it was just like a grind, you know what I'm saying? I had like a fold out bed, couch, and like, you know, wasn't making a lot of money, but it was like I didn't have a lot of opportunities, you know what I'm saying? So I was super hungry, you know what I mean? It was cold, you know what I mean? But Serbia, they got great players, man. I say if I grew up here in Serbia, man, they skill work was crazy. You know how people do a lot of skill work now? They was doing that. Like years ago, just like drilling, working on their game. Biz could shoot, but yeah, it was just it was an adjustment. But I think the stuff that we did at Villanova really prepared me for like the physical aspect of it. But the you know just the adjustment to the coach didn't really speak English, and he was real like didn't show no more. He just was like a scowl. But I kind of seen that if you just like work hard, mm-hmm. ask questions. You know what I mean, show up early, all the cliche stuff, man. Like, do all the extra stuff. Don't show too much emotion. You know what I mean? Like, I just went hard and I was super hungry. So, what could have been nasty as far as like the conditions and everything, it actually turned out to be like. And we was getting paid late for a friendly game. They tried to like take our salary just for like a preseason game. Mm. They tried to like put our salary. It was like 2 months late on our salary. Like. I know that's like a common thing with a lot of overseas schools, is like the late payments. So just like stuff like that was obstacles. But as far as like the talent level and skill work, like they was good, man. It was tough.
That's what's up. But I mean, like I said, you had to do a little preparation too, but being hungry. So what year do you get to Thailand or over there?
And that had came actually later in my career. I had played in Serbia for a couple years. Okay. And then they gave me some contract issues, so I had to take like a year off. Where not a year off, but I couldn't sign to a team mm-hmm. abroad because they had my contract rights. So I played in like the IBL and the stage was like a minor league. I played in Elkhart, Indiana, and then I went to the Chicago Bulls Summer League from there. And then after that, a lot of jobs opened up. So I went to Lebanon for a couple of years. Okay. I went to Syria for a couple of years. And I went to Saudi Arabia. I did a lot in the Middle East. Yeah. I went to Saudi Arabia for a season. And then I had my Middle Eastern agent. She had like a connection here in Thailand, like where she was doing tournaments. So she had, you know, sent me a contract. It was like, you got to leave. It was like Christmas Day. She's like, you got to leave. And I had been waiting. I had tried out for a team in like Turkey. And so I was like, yo, I got to go. So I left on Christmas Day. I didn't even know they had like basketball in Thailand. I got here and I showed up to practice and it's Kobe Bryant's dad. Like he the coach.
What?
And he was like, yeah, Jelly Bean. He was super cool, down to earth dude. He's a dude from Philly. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, super cool, man, players coach. But when I got there, I got to practice. He's like, hey, big fella, man, you welcome to stay. You know, I'm practice with the team, but I already got my roster. They already had like two Americans, but I was like, I got a contract. And it was like, no, we already got our players. So I was like, well, I ain't have nothing lined up. And it was like, you welcome to stay. So the owner was like paying for our hotel and giving us food and stuff. So it was me and I forgot his name. He like coached for the Rockets now. He like a player development coach. I forgot my man's name. But anyway, it was me and him. And he took another job and left, but I ain't really have much going on. I had some stuff that I was like, man, I'm staying here. And I just like practice with the team. Like I was like, I'm gonna wait and see what happens. I'm just go work out and stay in shape. And then like just so happened, like one of the imports got hurt, injured. And it was like, do you want to temporarily like, you know, jump on the team while you're here? I was like, man, like I was watching the games from the stands. You know what I mean? Like just wishing I could play in the league. It was dope because they got, it's like a year league, but Southeast Asia, as far as having like different teams from different countries. And then like, I was like 32, you know what I'm saying? Like 32, 33. So I hit the ground running, man. I was super like urgent, sense of urgency. Cause I was like, man, I don't.
Right.
I need this job, man.
That clock ticking shoe. You had to get it done.
Yeah. I was like, yo, I'm 32, man, 33. I really had, and Coach Brian really gave me like, he was like, if you play defense, like he just really gave you free reign on offense. And I had a guard, Filipino, for the back, you know, he liked Steve Nash. So like, all I had to do was like screen and roll. He was, so that was my first year in the ABL and I won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. And that kind of like opened doors for me in the region.
That's what's up. I said, man, doing my homework the last couple of days, we was been linking this up. A lot of love for you out there, man. Like, a lot of love for you, which is dope. How is that just for you and even family back home to see you, like, making it, you know, over there, handling, doing good and getting love? How's that feeling for you and your people?
Man, I owe it to my people, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just look at it, like, I hope they see it and look at it as, like, all of the, like, encouragement, sleep on people's couches, buying cars to go work out. You know what I'm saying? Like, people were loaning me money for like tournaments. Like, I really had a lot of support over the years, man. So I hope when people see it, they like, you know, I ain't make it to the league or make millions of dollars, but I hope that they see that, you know, they changed my life through that encouragement, man. I do get a lot of love here, man. And I appreciate all of it because I know what it's like to be the last dude on the bench, and I know what it's like to be, you know what I mean, the MVP and all that stuff, man. But it's all just like, it's humbling, you know what I'm saying? Like, you go through the prep school stuff. I had like a heart condition in college. It's like all these different things that lead up to, like, just, I don't know, man. You said, bro, like, like, you went to JUCO, you know, how like that, like the grind is, and then at the,
it'll change your life, man. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
You talk about that, you know, and I was like, again, looking through the Instagram stuff too. I think that's why you have your link to your the heart.org on your Instagram too, right? So, did that almost take you out away from the game permanently or what?
Man, I had to like my freshman year, I started having like palpitations, and I knew, like, I was in tip top shape. So I was like, this ain't right. Like, I started getting tired quick. And then, like, Coach Wright was like, what's wrong? Like, what's up, man? Like, and then I was like, I don't know. I kept trying to play through it. Mm-hmm. And then they just took me to the hospital, did some tests, and they was like, you got atrial fibrillation, which is like an irregular heartbeat where one of the valves in your heart, your heart has an electrical system. And mine was a bit off, so the valve wasn't moving on rhythm. So the blood wasn't flowing properly. Mm-hmm. So they had to, like, do these tests, and they just, like, shocked my heart back into rhythm. Mm-hmm. So it got better for a little bit, then it came back towards the end of the season. So I had to be put on medication and get the procedure done again. So that's when I redshirted my sophomore year. It was like, you went through that whole process, just redshirted your sophomore year. But it was scary, but it also, like, made me appreciate just, like, the small, just all the stuff that I was, like, complaining about. Man, we got to get up at, you know, 4:35 o'clock in the morning. Like, I ain't take that stuff for granted, because you get a health issue or whatever can take you out.
Yeah, man. That's definitely. So, and on this, I'm not let's talk about adversity, right? We talked about struggles and stuff. So during that time, though, just who was there supporting you? I'm sure the coach was, but how did you get through that? Because I know mentally that had to be scary, man. It's scary to almost not be able to play the game you love or been working on, man.
Yeah, it was scary, man. But I was so crazy, man. I wasn't even thinking about, like, my health. I was just trying to get back to hoop, like, man. Yeah. I just want to give me the pills, whatever I need to get back to hooping, man. At first, it was scary, but I was like, man, I'm trying to hoop, dog. But I had a lot of support from the coaching staff, my teammates, my family. I was listening to Tupac, Me Against the World, in the hospital.
West Coast, baby.
Yeah. I was just trying to get back on that court, man.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of support from everybody.
That's what's up, man. And you overcame that, bro. That's amazing, man. That's definitely amazing. So I got to ask again, I look at some of these pictures, man. Where's your most relaxing place you go to out there to relax? Because it's so beautiful, dog. Like, the pictures I've seen people visiting there, or like some of the pictures you post, I'm like, this is like unreal. Where's your place that you go to probably get relaxed, get away?
Man, when you get a chance, when it's COVID thing, you got to come through, man. Yeah. Thailand is
amazing.
I'm in Phuket right now. Usually it's kind of too much. Right now it's perfect because it's not a lot of tourists. Normally it's like the number one tourist place in, like, Southeast Asia.
Really?
It's like an island. It's like a tropical island. It's paradise, man. But now it's perfect because there's not a lot of tourists here. But right. I think this is, like, one of my favorite places, man. Also, Philippines has some dope islands too, man. Like, in that, like, I forgot the name of it. It's like in a Cebu area. That's the name of it. But Philippines is dope. And plus, they all speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So people like traveling from the States. That's a dope place. They got a lot of beautiful islands, and it's easy to communicate.
That's
but Thailand, my favorite.
So when you're there, do you go, like, to the beach more? Do you go to a little forest area? Where do you go to sit down and relax while you're there, though? Because I know the whole place is beautiful, but where do you go specifically to? Like, if you can narrow it down, where's your spot of choice to go chill and, like, untangle, unwind?
Man, I some people like the beach. I live like right by the beach, man. Okay. But whenever I go to the beach, I'll be on the workout, man. But as far as like the unwind, like if anybody is coming to Thailand, Nai Harm Beach is dope. That's like the place. It's like relaxing, the views and everything. But personally, for me, it's like a park with like a forest. Mm-hmm. And I've been going out. This might sound weird, man, but I've been taking one of the players that I was working with, they take like a meditation class.
Yeah.
And then go into nature. And you kind of like connect with nature, man. Like it works on like meditation and breathing.
Yeah.
Just being like cognizant of the environment and everything, our connection to the environment. This might sound like some hippie stuff, but that's like my relaxing type.
Hey, man. I think we're in a state, I think we're in a place now where we all need to find those places to get us away from, like, you know what I'm saying, the stresses, plus being males, being all that stuff, man. We got other stuff we got to worry about, so we need that relaxation, man. That's ain't nothing wrong with it. Shoot, ain't nothing wrong with it. That's super dope. Before we get out of here, just, man, again, your story to me, I'm learning so much about my guest, is amazing, but if anybody else is listening from your fans, from back home, what would you tell them to encourage them or any advice you would give them to try to, because again, everybody has a story, man. So what would you kind of advise or you would give them to go on or pursue your dream or what? It's your time. Go ahead, man.
Oh, man. First of all, man, thank you again for this dog. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And I would tell people that, you know, where you are right now, it's not like necessarily where you're gonna be. Like it can, like when I was looking back at some of the things I went through, like my like grade situation or not being good early on or heart condition or averaging at one point, like it's easy to like get down about where you are at the moment. But if you, I know it's cliche, but if you keep your head down and like keep working at your craft or whatever it is, it ain't gotta be basketball. Like hone in and do put them hours in per day. Like it was just like a consistent grind over time. A bunch of obstacles going overseas, not making team, you know what I'm saying? But you just got to keep your, but the first thing is identifying something that you love so much that you're willing to do, you know what I'm saying? You're willing to do that. It don't have to be basketball. And that's the tough thing I think with people is like trying to identify something that you love so much that you're willing to like go through the fire for it. And then just continuously putting that work in. And I think the earlier that you find, identify what you love and you're willing to sacrifice a lot for it or put deposits in, the earlier the better. It's never too late. I don't want to say it's too late, but like the earlier the better because you got more time with you. You grow with the process, you know, so you grow with the process. But yeah, just it's not where you are right now, but just keep grinding. It's about the long term.
That's what's up, man. I really appreciate you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Keep, you know what I'm saying? Hey, ride that thing out till the wheels fall off, as we know, like I said, because, you know, I mean, that's what it is, man. But it's definitely a blessing, man. Again, I appreciate you taking time out your day, my guy, to get on with me, man. I learned a lot, man. I'm definitely keeping you inspired, man. I appreciate you.
When I get my podcast, I want to get you on too, man.
Hey, it's whatever. If you need information, anything, it's each one teach one, man. You know, we from that generation where
we change it straight up.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man. You have a good one. Stay safe, man. I'm going to be in touch, though, for real.
All right,
bro. Have a good one. All right, yes, sir.
Peace.
Peace.
Sir.
Yes, sir.